Good morning. Happy New Year, and may God give you a blessed and healthy New Year would be my desire for each of you. I'd like to greet you this morning at Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, where we read, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." I'd like to extend a hearty welcome to each of you that have come to worship this morning. This morning isn't just our regular worship service. We will incorporate a program, and we'll have a baby dedication, and I'm sure there's parents and grandparents that have come to support their child and grandchild, and we're glad you came, and a welcome to each of you. I'm just trusting and praying. My voice will last through this morning. I've been coping with a cold for the last number of weeks. Just finished my antibiotics this morning, so hopefully, by God's grace, we'll make it through this morning. For an opening scripture passage, I'd like to turn to the book of Galatians chapter 4, pick up in verse 4 and read through verse 7. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then heir of God through Christ." What a privilege we as Christians have. Let us pray. Gracious God and Father in heaven, we come before your throne of grace at the dawn of a new year. And Lord, we thank you for blessing us so abundantly as we look past through this last year that you gave us. The year had trials, it had struggles, it had health issues, it had many blessings, and Lord, we thank you for all of them. You were with us, you didn't forsake us, you helped us through every circumstance. And Lord, we are so blessed. And as we look forward and anticipate a new year of opportunities and blessings, we dedicate ourselves to you. Reality is, Lord, there will probably be struggles and trials, and we look for you, to you for strength and courage to carry through these circumstances. These circumstances, Lord, we thank you for them, for they build us, they strengthen our faith, they give us opportunities to witness to those around us that what life is like with you in our heart. And Lord, this morning, we just pray that you'll take this service and use it for your honor and your glory. I pray, Lord, that I will be open to your Spirit's leading, and that what is spoken will honor and glorify your holy name. Lord, we ask for a hedge of protection around us, ward off Satan and his forces that so often want to distract us. Help us to keep focused on you. Bless each one, touch each heart. Lord, you know each one's individual needs, and you can provide for whatever is needed, and we look to you for that provision. Lord, bless and keep us, we pray in your holy name. Amen. At this time, we have a congregational song, please.
Promise never to leave. never to leave me alone. The world's fierce winds are blowing, temptation sharp and keen. I have a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when my friends are all gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. He'll claim me for his own. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. When affliction's valley, I tread the road of care. My Savior helps me to carry the cross so heavy to bear. Though all around me is darkness, earthly joys all flown, my Savior whispers his promise, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. He'll claim me for his own. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. He died on Calvary's mountain, for me they pierced his side. For me he opened that fountain, the crimson cleansing tide. For me he waiteth in glory, seated upon his throne. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me, never to leave me alone.
What a beautiful promise in song. No, never alone. And if you look back in our lives and we've been through difficulties, we have to recognize Christ never left us alone. You know, before I go on with our message this morning, I'll make an announcement that has maybe been a little bit of confusion. There's a funeral here this afternoon at 2 o'clock, and there's a lunch being served for the family of the deceased. This is not a lunch for the entire congregation. So if some of you were expecting a lunch, I'm sorry. You might have to go home and cook your own or find other means, but the lunch that will be served is for the family of the Jake Wolf. That funeral is this afternoon. So, in our opening scripture passage, we opened up in the book of Galatians chapter 4, picking up in verse 4, where the writer talks about when the fullness of time was come. You know, and when we think of the Christmas story, and just a quick little recap, is prophecy predicted Christ's coming hundreds of years before Christ actually came. But there was an appropriate time. God has timing for everything and a purpose for everything, and we might not always fully understand. And when the appropriate time was here, he himself came into this world in a miraculous way, born of a virgin, born in a very humble setting, and then 8 days later, Mary and Joseph again followed the laws of the Old Testament and came to the temple to dedicate Jesus and to officially give him his name. And likewise today, I think it is so appropriate that the program committee has put together a program, set aside a time where we want to give parents the opportunity to dedicate their child to Christ. This is by no way in any means any representation of infant baptism or of anything of the sort. It is simply publicly proclaiming we are dedicating our child to Christ, and we want you, the congregation, your support. Pray for us, encourage us as we raise this child. You know, there's an old Indian saying that says it takes a village to raise a child. You know, and there is so much truth to that saying. But before we go to the child dedication, we'll have a message and we'll have part of a program, and I'll expand on that in just a little while. But as we see in Galatians chapter 4, when God's timing was right, he came into this world, tells us made of a woman, made under the law, and yet it wasn't a conception by a human father who was Jesus' earthly father, Joseph. It was conceived, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then verse 5 tells us why he came. He came to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You know, God's purpose was never to destroy the human race. You know, even though in the Old Testament he got so frustrated with the human race that he actually wanted to destroy every human being. But we can see how he picked Noah, and Noah was a man that was obedient. He preached the gospel, and he picked him to build an ark, and 8 souls were saved besides Noah. The rest of the world was destroyed. You know, God in his wrath, we could say, could do away with us as a human race in a very short order. But that's not his purpose. That is not why he created us. He created us to love him, for him to have a relationship with us and us with him. Each one of us is God-breathed. You know, the writer in the Old Testament talks about when we were formed in the womb, how intricately we were made, and how every detail is known to God. You know, and if you're an individual that sometimes struggles with self-esteem, please don't. You are special. God created you to be exactly you. He loves you on an individual basis. He came to redeem you. He came to redeem the entire world. The sad thing is, not all people accept this redemption. But when we accept the gift of salvation, we are a redeemed people. We are adopted, you might say, into God's family, or as it says here, the adoption of sons. And as God's child, we inherit what God is preparing for us in heaven someday. As God's child, we are truly, truly blessed. As God's child, we have the strength and the courage to go on. You know, to think about being adopted by God himself. You know, and it cost him deeply. He left the beauty of heaven. Later, he was abused and ridiculed. He was beaten. He was nailed to a cross. He died to save you and me, to redeem us, to pay the price that we really should be paying for. And he resurrected on the third day, providing victory, spiritual victory. People still die to this day, but the soul that has accepted Jesus, their life goes on for all eternity in heaven. What a blessing to be adopted into God's family. And God does not have grandchildren. Each of us is his child. Regardless of age, regardless of race, regardless of where we've come from or where we've been, we are his child. And we are first fruits of eternal life in heaven. And then in verse 6, he goes on, because your sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You know, when we accept Jesus, his Spirit fully moves into our hearts. We are his child, and we cry, Abba, Father, or Dear Father. It's someone that is precious and important to us. And then he says in verse 7, therefore, you're no more a servant. You know, a servant is someone that is hired, that has paid his wages, but he is not someone that inherits eternal life, we might say. But as a child, we inherit. We enjoy the blessings of being God's child here and now. And if we are a child of God, then we are an heir, or we inherit what God has prepared for us. When Jesus was born into this world, like I said, his parents, they followed through with what we would call the traditions or the customs of the Old Testament. In Luke chapter 2, picking up in verse 21, we read, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of your purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So Jesus' earthly parents, they presented him in the temple on the 8th day. And you know, even though we don't know the exact day and time when Jesus was born, we as Christians have assumed and accepted December 25th as the day of Jesus' birth. And then 8 days later, which is today, January 1st, New Year's Day, is the day where Jesus was taken to the temple and he was officially named and he was circumcised. And then as his parents and Jesus are in the temple, in verse 25, we go on, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now here is an elderly man waiting to see this Messiah, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and that was because he was just and upright before God. And the Holy Ghost, in verse 29, it says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. You know, what a privilege this old man had, that he was assured he would not physically die until he had seen God's child, or this Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So here he prophesied. Here he praised God. And he was so, we might say, rejoicing in the depths of his heart. And he talks about that this salvation wasn't just for God's chosen people, the Jews. It is also there for the Gentiles. You and I, we are the Gentiles. And how wonderful that God came to redeem you and me as well as his own people, his chosen people, the Jews. And then in verse 33, it says, and Joseph, his mother, marveled at those things which were spoken of him. You know, Mary was, we might say, a typical mother. Remember where it's recorded at Christmas time we read about, and Mary pondered these things in her heart. You know, her heart was obviously, we might say, a storehouse of these spiritual treasures. And you know, and we do well when we treasure the spiritual blessings that God has given us in the year past or the many years that we might have already lived. You know, then when difficult times come and circumstances seem a little bleak or whatever it might be, and when we recount these blessings, it lifts us up. It gives us the joy and the courage to continue on, even if things are maybe not the way we think we want them to be. But God, in his divine knowledge, knows what is best for us. He will lead and he will guide and he will be with us. Then in verse 34, it says, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, but the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You know, Simeon, a man after God, also, we might say, was a prophet. He spoke things that the Holy Spirit gave to him. It was an encouragement to Mary, but he also spoke reality, and he says, it will pierce your heart. You know, and when we fast forward and think of when Jesus was nailed to the cross, the story clearly relates to us that Mary, his mother, was there. She was watching these gruesome details. And we can only but imagine how it must have deeply pained her heart. And yet she understood, because she stored up these precious spiritual treasures in her heart. She knew that this was a redemption for many people. She was not selfish to want to hold back this precious child from going the way of the cross. She understood in her human mind that this was God's child. This wasn't her child. She was picked to take care of this child, to raise him, but she gave him back to the Lord. She and Joseph, when they came to the temple, to name him. Then the chapter in Luke 2 goes on in verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. Now here's a widow, 84 years old. So what her exact age might have been, we're not totally sure. We're guessing maybe a little bit, but when she maybe was married young at the age of 16, which wasn't uncommon in those days, and she was married with a husband for 7 years and widowed for 84 years, that would make her 107 years old. And here she was of a great age, and she was serving God in the temple and fasting and with prayers night and day. And while Simeon is blessing this child and this young couple, in verse 38, and she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. You know, we do well when we follow the Lord's instructions. Then we are blessed. And it doesn't mean that we will have easy street, but when we seek to honor God in every detail of our lives, and especially when we are faithful to him and then to our spouse and to our children and raising them in a godly way, we will be blessed. And it tells us how this child grew and waxed strong. You know, for you as parents that are starting off a family and are young, you know, take the time to teach your child, that your child may wax, as it says here, or grow strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, so that they will have spiritual discernment, so that they will hear of the love of Jesus and come to a saving knowledge of Christ at an age when they start to understand. And this doesn't start, this being an example, and waiting until a child is 13 or 14 years old. This starts from the very day that they are born, by presenting them to the Lord, by showing them by example that you love God, you love each other. A child will feel secure. A child will grow strong in spiritual matters as well as physically and emotionally. Here's Anna blessing Mary and Joseph and this child. She served God faithfully for many years. Simeon served God faithfully for many years. The encouragement in a nutshell is, let's not get tired of serving the Lord. You know, you might sometimes feel your service is so insignificant. You might sometimes be the one that feels nobody notices. Be assured, God notices. Jesus says, if you give a cup of cold water to a child in the name of the Lord, it will not go unnoticed. So be rest assured, whatever you do, whether it's behind the scenes or not, wherever it might be, God knows. He will be the one that will be blessing you for it. And as we have just finished 2023, to never ever relive it again, It is sometimes important to recognize how quickly time passes and that we use the time we have today, that we use it well. In other words, that we redeem the time that the Lord has given to us. In the book of Psalm in chapter 90, in verse 12, the psalmist says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." You know, I'm sure all of us, we're anticipating 365 days in this coming year, which is great. If God shortens our days, glory to God, then we're in his presence. But the reality is, we need to look ahead with a positive attitude. To teach us to number our days means to realize the brevity of life and that we live life well so that there is no regrets, whether we're in our deathbed and we know death is inevitable, or whether we fall over and die, that loved ones that we have left behind will be rest assured and have the full confidence of knowing that your or my soul is with Jesus for all eternity. And it is important that we give ourselves to the Lord at a young age. Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." You know, there's a time when I have observed old people, and when is a person old? That is a determination for each one. But where their desire to live has sort of diminished, and us younger ones sometimes find that a little difficult to understand, where they're yearning to be with the Lord. You know, for us younger ones, we still have zest, we have courage, we have the will to live and to go on and to serve. We want to see our children grow, our grandchildren grow, and there might be many different things that give us reason and purpose to stay and to go on. But the most important thing that we need to realize at a young age to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Because he tells us the evil days are coming. You know, there will be trials, there will be temptations. And when we have Christ in our Lord, the one that created us in the womb of our mother, the one that knows every intricate detail of you and me, when we put our faith and our trust in him and invite him to our heart, irregardless of how evil this world may turn, we have an eternal hope. We have an inner joy. We have a comfort and a peace that nobody can take away from us. But it is important to take life seriously. When I stress taking life seriously, I'm not saying we can't laugh, that we can't have joy, that we can't smile. But we have to be sincere about our relationship with Christ and to redeem the time we have now. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 15 and verse 16, it reads, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." You know, to walk circumspectly, to walk upright, to live a good example, and to live a life that will encourage others to follow Jesus Christ as well. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to a certain church, he asked them to look to him for an example of what a Christian should look like. You know, and if at first you read that, you might want to think, wow, he's a bit of a conceited individual. But you know, reality and a sobering thought is, when others watch us, are we living a life that will lead them closer to Christ? It is a challenge that each of us needs to take seriously. Are we confident enough in our Christian walk that when we witness to a non-Christian and he or she has no idea what a Christian looks like, what they act like, or what they're to be or to do, that we can confidently and without conceitness say, you know, look at me, follow my example. You know, and if we say that in true humility, there is no pride involved in that whatsoever. But you know, new Christians, they look to us for examples. Let's be a good example. As we read in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 2 or in verse 12, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." You know, when Peter wrote these words, he was speaking to his fellow Jews, and he wanted them to live a life that would encourage the non-Jews to come to Christ. You know, today you and I, we are of the Gentiles, but our encouragement that we can take here from Peter is to live our life, to be an example to the non-Christians, that they will honor and glorify God when they see the example that we leave for them. That would be my desire and prayer for each of us. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your holy word that encourages and uplifts us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives in us and guides and leads us every day of our lives. And Lord, I just pray that you continue to be with each and every one that has a part in the program at this time. Bless them and make them a blessing to each of us. We pray in your holy name. Amen. This time, for those that are able, I'd like to give each of you the opportunity to go on bended knee and to pray to the Lord in silence. Please kneel with me for a time of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our many prayers. Amen. At this time, we'll turn over to the program that those that are involved have a schedule, and we'll just follow that schedule, please.
Take your blue hymn book, turn to page 290, Each Step I Take.
Each step I take, my Savior goes before. I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith begin to waver when up ahead I see a chasm wide. It's then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when he is by my side. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in God no matter come what may, for life eternal is in his hand. He holds the key that opens up promised land. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on, until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. For you.
John 16, verse 22. And ye know, therefore, have sorrow. Ye now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. In memory of lost loved ones, we wish to let you know that ye are missed in our church fellowship, and that we remember them. God bless you as you grieve your loss in the hope of meeting them again soon. Abram Wall.
Agatha Wall.
Helen Wall.
Sarah Dick.
Agnes Ham.
Ruth Letkeman.
Elma Nickel.
Marge Bergen.
Jake Wall.
John Unruh.
Elma Klippenstein.
Abe Drieger.
Elizabeth Sawatsky.
Menno Dirksen.
Klaus Lowen.
Nettie Kron.
Bill Reimer.
Elena Abrams.
John Harder.
Mary Weeb.
Ramon Herman Clausen.
Henry Clausen.
Jake Wolf.
Amber Peters.
Tempted and tried, were oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long.
while there are others living about us. Never molested, though in the wrong.
Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand.
When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year.
Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand.
Faithful till death, said our loving master, a few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will then seem as nothing as we sweep through the beautiful gate.
Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
Good morning. I'm battling a little bit of a cold, so just bear with me. (Clears throat)
blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
I wasn't going to say this before I sang the song, because it was many years before I could sing the song without crying, because my dad, he was in 1995, he was burned 85% of his body. And on the way to Winnipeg, even though he had swallowed fire, he sang this song. And what a testimony. And that's my prayer for all of us, that this will always be our story, that we will praise the Lord all our days of our lives. Thank you.
This is my story, this is my song, praising our Savior all the day long. You know, with Christ present in our lives, absolutely, that is possible. We've come to the portion of our service that we've called baby dedication. And when we think of children and how precious they are, how they lighten up our lives, they are such a blessing. And I have sometimes said, if we want to experience just a little bit of heaven on earth, then look into the face of a newborn baby, sinless, at peace, totally comfortable, trusting the parent to take care of it. How beautiful that God gives us these blessings. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 22 and verse 6, it encourages us and it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, sometimes when we look into the world and look around us and sort of become overwhelmed with circumstances and the way that we might sometimes want to think the world is going, it could almost overwhelm us. And yet reality is, and I don't want to downplay anything, but I remember as a young child when I was at a gathering, my aunts and uncles, and especially some of my uncles, you know, they would talk about how this whole world is just falling apart and everything is just going the wrong direction. You know, very negative. And it scared me as a young child. What am I in for? And yet reality is, we do not need to worry about tomorrow. Christ holds today. He is with us today. He's with us here and now. And he will be with each and every child that is born into this world. We, as parents, love on them deeply. We care for them. We pray for them. We dedicate them to the Lord. But ultimately, we trust the Lord to plant a hedge of protection around them, to guide and lead them through every step of life's way. And yes, sometimes a child may choose things that we as parents cannot bless or approve of. But when you and I, when we've done our utmost best, dedicated this child to God, prayed for them, taught them, been an example for them, you know, even if they veer off the path that we would like them to be on, they will come back. That is not my thinking. That is the promise in God's holy word. You know, the reality is sometimes parents don't get to see a child returning to what he or she has been taught. But later in life, I know of testimonies where people turned around and they credited the prayers of their mother, the prayers of their father, they credited the upbringing, the how they had been taught to love the Lord first and all, at all times. Jesus, when he walked on the face of this earth, he took time for children. Jesus had a beautiful attitude towards children. In the book of Mark, in chapter 10, and in verse 14, where the people were bringing children to Jesus, they wanted him to bless them. And I can just sort of imagine him maybe sitting on a rock or something. You know, back then things weren't the way they are today. And where children were gathered around him and he put his hands on them, maybe took one or two or more on his knee, took turns and pronounced a blessing on them. You know, and his disciples, they didn't appreciate this. You know, they saw this as the children were wasting his time. You know, he could spend time doing adult things. And yet when Jesus noticed this, it tells us in verse 14, when Jesus saw it, he was not much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. You know, a child trusts unwaveringly. They don't have a lot of doubts. You know, and we as adults sometimes lose some of that trust as we grow into adulthood. You know, to trust Christ so faithfully, so undoubtingly, to look to him to supply each and every need in our life is a childlike faith. So we can learn from children. And Jesus encouraged that they should be fed spiritual food. You know, as much as they need to be cared for and nourished physically, they also need to be cared for spiritually. In John 21 and verse 15, Jesus had this conversation with Peter. And, you know, Peter, he had gone through difficult things, and he had denied Christ, he had repented, he had come back, and Jesus was asking him to go and serve him. And one of the first things that Jesus said in John 21, 15, he says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And then Peter answers, he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. You know, Jesus often referred to himself as the shepherd, you and I the sheep. But when he talks about lambs, I understand he talks about the children of the sheep or the lambs of the sheep. You know, we as adults care for these young lambs. And he encouraged Peter, reach out to the young, share the gospel with them. Jesus had children on his mind at all times. And God gives us encouragement to train them and to train them well. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 6, verse 4 to verse 9, God's word says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And after these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." So number one, he says, you need to have a relationship with me. You know, we can't teach our children of God if we ourselves are not fully committed to God or to Christ himself. And then he says, verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." You know, what I read from this is it's not just a passing act. It is not just something that, oh yeah, we'll take them to Sunday school on Sunday morning and maybe to clubs or to a children's program during the week one evening. This means diligently, every day, every moment that you have. "And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Wherever you have opportunity, teach your child. "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." You know, God's word, God's love, is to be lived, to be breathed, to be taught to our children. And we're to correct them. You know, children are children, and they will sometimes have ways that we have to take the time to correct them. And God's word might seem a little strong in today's culture, but in Proverbs 29:15, it tells us, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." So a child that is not trained will later bring parents to shame. So never underestimate the power of training a child at a young age. And we as parents are to love on them and not provoke them. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and an admonition of the Lord." So they're to be dedicated to the Lord. They're not supposed to be angered by our actions and our unjust treatment, but we're to love on them the way Christ loves on us. And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, Acts 2, 38 and 39, we read, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And then here's where I want to focus in for a bit. "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." You know, this promise isn't just a promise to adults. It is to each and every child as well. And then we come full circle back to Proverbs 22:6, "To train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So let us take the time to train our children well. Let us as a congregation love and support the parents that are training their children. Let us not be critical of them, but rather pray for them, encourage them, and give them our blessing. So at this time, I'd like to call on the parents that would like to, that have registered for dedicating your children this morning. I'd like to invite you to come on stage and just gather in the front here. And the first couple that I have here is Corny and Amanda Swatsky, and the baby's name is Ethan Peter. So if they want to make their way up. And then we have Joseph and Charisse Unruh and their son Hunter Elliott. And Justin and Lisa Dick, they're dedicating two of their children, Amelia Gabrielle and Logan Elisha. And Kendall and Edna Clausen, dedicating Emma Lynn. A few questions to you as parents. First of all, parents, do you come professing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your lives? Please answer with, we do. And do you come to dedicate yourselves to biblical instruction, discipline, and the love of this child? Please answer.
We do.
And do you dedicate these children into the ultimate control and will of God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?
We do.
Do you, the congregation, agree to support these parents by your example and through acts of service? Do you agree to reinforce the biblical instruction, discipline, and love of this child under the supreme rule of our Lord Jesus Christ? And if you do, congregation, you may indicate by please standing. Let us all pause for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we bring these children to you with all our hearts, our soul, and our might. We want you to help raise these children to love you and serve you. Help the congregation and the parents that they will set the right example for these children, and that these children might love and serve you throughout their entire lives. We pray, Lord, that you will be their shepherd, that they will not be left in need. Lord, make them to lie down in green pastures. Lord, may you lead them beside the still waters. Restore their souls. May you lead them into the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And yes, Lord, even though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that they will fear no evil, for you are with them. May your rod and your staff comfort them. Lord, may you prepare a table before them in the presence of their enemies. May you anoint their heads with oil. May their cups run over, and may goodness and mercy follow them all the days of their lives. And we pray, Lord, that they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. At this time, the program committee has a little gift for each of you families. Okay, thank you for coming up, and you may be seated at this time. At this time, we'll have two more special numbers, please.
save. The children's friend is he. The children's friend is Jesus. There's no one else so true. He keeps all those who trust him as no one else can do. The children's friend is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. His life he gave their souls to save. The children's friend is he.
Faithfulness. Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Heavy trials and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged, take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness, take it to the Lord in prayer. Forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee, thou wilt find a solace
there. Thank you to the program committee for putting together this program. Thank you to each and every one that had a part in this service. Thank you to you parents that brought your child forward for a baby dedication. May God richly bless you in the days to come. For closing tonight or this afternoon, just some thought or a thought that I came across some time ago. A year has 365 days. And then if you take that at 24 hours a day, there's 8,760 hours in a year. 525,600 minutes, and if you want to bring it down to seconds, you've got 31,536,000 seconds. So in the year ahead, the average person works about 40 hours a week. So that makes 2,080 hours a year. Health guys tell us to sleep at least 8 hours a day. So that makes 2,920 hours. So what are you and I going to do with the other 3,760 hours that we have left in the new year? What is the right use of time? Like close with Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let us close in a word of prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for this day, for this opportunity to worship you, to sing your praises, to dedicate children to you. And Lord, we thank you for your Spirit's presence, for the gift of salvation so full and so free. And Lord, may you bless us that in turn we will be a blessing to those that we meet in our community, in our church, in our workplaces, wherever we are, Lord, help us to let our light shine that others will be drawn to you. Amen. Let us also bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may now go in the peace of our Lord.